I want to speak to you about a different spirit this morning. And those of you that have your Bibles, and again, I trust that you do have your Bibles. Don't come into the house without your Bibles, electronic or printed. And we're going to read from Numbers 14, verses 13 to 25. Very familiar account. We know the account of the Israelites going in to take the promised land, and it's speaking about promise. And Moses sends the spies into the land to scope out the land. And we have an account of 12 people coming back and giving a different account. 10 giving a different account to 2. And so in Numbers 14, verses 13 to 25, we read this. Moses said to the Lord, "Then the Egyptians will hear of it, for you brought up this people in your might from among them. And they will tell the inhabitants of the land, they have heard that you, O Lord, are in the midst of this people. For you, O Lord, are seen face to face, and your clouds stand over them, and you go before them in a pillar of cloud by day and in a pillar of fire by night. Now, if you kill this people as one man, then the nations who have heard your fame will say, 'Is it because the Lord was not able to bring this people into the land that he swore to give to them, that he has killed them in the wilderness? And now please let the power of the Lord be great as you have promised, saying, "The Lord is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, forgiving iniquity and transgression, but he will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation. Please pardon the iniquity of this people according to the greatness of your steadfast love, just as you have forgotten this people from Egypt until now." Then the Lord said, "I have pardoned according to your word, but truly, as I live, and as all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord, none of the men who have seen my glory and my signs that I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and yet have put me to the test these 10 times, and have not obeyed my voice, shall see the land that I swore to give to their fathers. And none of those who despise me shall see it. But my servant Caleb, because he has a different spirit and has followed me fully, I will bring into the land into which he went, and his descendants shall possess it." Verse 25. "Now since the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwell in the valleys, turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea." The Old Testament contains a series of names that every student of Jesus should know. Every student of Jesus should be familiar with. Let me see if you recognize any of these names. Shamua, Shaphat, Igal, Palti, Gadiel, Amiel, Sethur, Nabi, Hoshea, Geuel. Do you recognize any of the names? I mean, every student of Jesus should know those names. Let me put you out of your misery. If you're having trouble recognizing those names, the problem is not with you. The problem was with the men. Because those names are the names of some of the spies that were sent into the land to scope the land, to bring the people into the promise of God. And yet their names have been forgotten. Only 2 names we remember, Joshua and Caleb. So if you don't remember their names, the fault is not yours. The problem is with the men. The Bible tells us that each one of those men were a leader in their own tribe. It tells us that they were known for outstanding skills, for having power and authority, for standing out in the natural above others. And so it seemed that they had all the right qualities. And so consequently, they were chosen to go and scope out the land. And yet, even in this moment when I said their names, many of us were struggling to know who they were. The question is this: how did their names go into the realms of oblivion? Well, the answer is really quite simple. It's in 2 words, or rather 2 names: Caleb and Joshua. Caleb and Joshua, or Caleb's name means dog, in case you didn't know. It means dog, and that's not a reflection on who he is, but it means dog in the sense of someone like a dog who gets hold of something and doesn't let it go. Someone with a tenacity of spirit that when things get hard, he holds on and he presses in to lay hold of what God has promised. And Caleb and Joshua are the only two names that we remember from this particular episode in Israelite history. They alone return from the mission, it says, with a good report. Everyone else came back with a bad report, with a negative report. The other spies' reports were based on fear. They warned against entering Canaan because of the fearsome tribes that were dwelling there. But Joshua and Caleb urged the people of God to press on, to lay hold of the promise that God had made, that he would bring them into a land of their own. How many of you know that sometimes our faith is hindered because we're held back in fear? We are hindered from entering all that God has promised us because we are held back by fear. Because of, instead of having a fresh revelation about the sovereignty, about the goodness, about the faithfulness of God, instead we have a fresh revelation about the devil. And fear holds us back, and we never enter into all that God has promised. But I want to say that with a different spirit will say, I will not fear the one who can only kill the body and not the soul. I will revere him alone, the one who can destroy both soul and body. Jesus said that, didn't he? Jesus said, do not fear the one who can only kill the body, but rather fear him who ultimately can destroy both body and soul and condemn it to hell. But fear, friends, holds us back because we do not have the different spirit that God requires us to have. The thing that made and defined Joshua and Caleb, the thing that makes us remember them, was not their skills and their abilities, but the thing that defines them is the fact that the scripture tells us that Caleb had a different spirit and followed the Lord fully. And that tells us something. The overwhelming majority of Israelites were ready to go along with the majority rule, with the 10 spies' advice. They were afraid of being slain by powerful enemies that occupied the land. A different spirit, friends, does not conform to majority rule. A different spirit, just because the majority are in agreement, doesn't make it right or, in fact, true. In God's economy, he works on a different economy. How many of you know that you can do the right thing, but in a wrong spirit? You can do the right thing, but in a wrong spirit. You see, the first characteristic that I want to make us aware of or draw us to in terms of having a different spirit is that of having an undivided heart. It says of Caleb that not only did he have a different spirit, but he followed God fully. An undivided heart. There was a willingness, first and foremost, to obey God, whatever the cost. I wonder how many of us can say that of our own lives. Are we willing to do whatever we hear God tell us to do? Because God is speaking all the time into all of our lives. And I'm sure there are times when we hear God and we stand there trying to reason with him, saying, look, God, you don't really mean this. Or maybe there's a different way that I can do that. But it says of Caleb, his different spirit meant that he was fully prepared to obey everything that God said. And the first mark of a different spirit is having an undivided heart. A different spirit is a life of contrast. We contrast that with someone who is ordinary and just goes about daily life. The contrast of the person without a different spirit is one who is afraid of being caught in sin, Contrast that with the person with a different spirit who is more concerned or more afraid of offending God. The person with a different spirit has a different view. The person without a different spirit is afraid of losing the company or the acceptance of their peers. Whereas the person with a different spirit is afraid of grieving God's spirit. The person who does not have a different spirit is prepared to do what the church requires. Whereas the person with a different spirit longs to do what God desires. Sometimes the two are not the same, sadly. In short, what makes a person with a different spirit different is the fact that they have a consecrated life. No other answer for it but someone who has a consecrated life. And that word consecrate is in two parts. That the first part, con, means with. The second part means holy. And we were reminded yesterday that holy and holiness literally, in its simplest terms, means a spiritual and a moral excellence. That's what holiness is. None of us are perfect, we know that, but we can aspire to a moral and spiritual excellence. That's what holiness is. And a consecrated life is someone who lives a life apart from themselves with a desire to have this moral and spiritual excellence evident in their lives. And Caleb, I would suggest, was such a man. And that marked him out from the others. God commanded the 10 spies because they refused to do what God had said, because they were willing to turn back despite the fact that God had promised. God said to them, "Turn tomorrow and set out for the wilderness by way of the Red Sea." In other words, what God was saying to those 10 and to the others that were willing to believe them or go with their report is, he says, look, you've chosen to go back to the wilderness. You know the people were complaining. They were saying life was better in Egypt. We had food. We had fresh fruit. Life was better. How quickly we forget things, folks, don't we? How quickly we forget what things were like, and we think, we look back in the past with rose-colored spectacles and we think that everything was great. And the people were exactly the same. Life was better. Let us go back to Egypt. Why bring us into the wilderness to die? And they held back. Caleb and Joshua said, we can do this. But they chose to hold back. And God said, with the choice that you make, you by default are refusing to inherit my promise. Because God had made a promise. And God is faithful. When God says something, it will come to pass. It's just a case of when. But it will come to pass. Joshua and Caleb were different. God said this, not one shall come into the land where I swore I would make you dwell. But your little ones, listen to this, but your little ones who you said would become prey. So the 10 are saying, we can't go into the land because it's not just us. You know, think of our children. They're going to be devoured. The land is hostile. The people are hostile. Think about the children. I will bring in, God says, and they shall know the land that you have rejected. You see, there's a message here, friends. There's a clear message for every single student of Jesus, everyone who professes to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's this. It's if we don't seek to have and exercise a different spirit, our choice will have an adverse effect on our entire community. And I'm not just talking about the community in here. I'm talking about what's happening out there. If we do not have a different spirit, it will ultimately have an impact, an effect on this community, this faith community, and the community out there. Our choice to wander in the wilderness of moderated faith doesn't just hurt us, doesn't just damage us and those around us, but it puts the next generation, our children, at risk as well. And so there's a requirement for us, friends, to step up, to be willing to hear God and to obey what he says, to exercise that different spirit. I want to say, though, that God doesn't charge our children with our sins. I'm simply saying that the decisions we make today has an impact on our on future generations. We see that in the account. We know that there was a generation that died out because of the decision they made. And they never saw the promise of God. They never entered the promised land. And so we need to be careful about the decisions we make today. They don't just have an impact on us in the here and now, but they affect future generations. You know, there, I believe there are many Christians even today who are like those Israelites, people who are content to wander around the spiritual desert, people who are just happy where they are, just doing what they do, don't rock the boat, just carry on wandering around in a spiritual wilderness in with fear-based faith, because they're afraid of doing anything different, because they don't know what different will mean for them. Simply want to blend in with the crowd. They tell themselves that radical Christianity isn't for them. Come on, we're all called to be radical. Jesus was a radical. Jesus never ever conformed to the moral standards or understanding of the day. Jesus was a total radical in his faith, and he calls us as believers to be the same. You see, again, Numbers 14, that same chapter, addresses that mindset that says, well, I'm all right where I am. I'm quite comfortable in this spiritual wilderness. You see, God says that if he's promised something to you, that he will provide a way for you to enter into it. God will be faithful. Listen, if he's promised something, you may not have seen it yet, but God will find a way and make the way for you to enter into it. He will bring you into his promise. But he says, if you choose a different way, if you choose rather than to exercise a different spirit, and you choose to work in the spirit of the flesh and the here and the now, and what you can see in the physical and the tangible, you are at risk of missing everything that he has for you. God wants us to have a different spirit so that we see beyond the natural. We might not have it yet, but we see beyond. We see the future that God has determined for us. The kind of spirit that God is looking for can't be manufactured. It's not born out of the flesh. It's not an external strength. It's not a fortitude. It's not a zeal or a self-determination. Rather, the world inside us will determine the world around us. In other words, the one who is in us, the one who dwells in us, or the one who makes his home in us, depending on what is in us, because some of you may not have the Spirit of God in you. So I'm saying, depending on what is in you will determine what the world around you looks like. A different spirit will have a different outlook. When David was in the wilderness of Judah, he prayed this, Psalm 63 verse 1. You can read it later on. He said this: O God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. And then the psalm goes on. And David wrote that psalm when he was in a wilderness, a physical wilderness, when he was in the wilderness of Judah. He wrote it while he was probably fleeing from Absalom and some other enemies who were seeking to take his life. He was hard pressed on every corner of his life. Even though he was king, he was still being people were still coming at him from all directions. But David, even in his wilderness experience, didn't forget to sing the songs of praise to his God. Listen, David could have, out of just sloppy idleness, sung some of the psalms that he'd sung before, some of the things that he'd written before, but he didn't. David, even in the wilderness, wrote and sang a new song. He didn't bring something out of the past, but he wrote a song, a hymn, a psalm out of and from within his experiences. And sometimes, friends, we forget that. And we sometimes we find ourselves caught up in in a wilderness experience, in a dry and desert and dusty place, and we allow the environment that we find ourselves in to determine how we respond to our God. But God says, when you have a different spirit, it doesn't matter the environment you're in. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are, because a different spirit will always praise and acknowledge God, irrespective of where you are. David, when he wrote this psalm, notice that David was in a desert place, in a wilderness, but the wilderness wasn't in him. A different spirit. A different spirit. Sometimes we find ourselves cast, and I use that correctly, into places of deserts and wildernesses. We find ourselves in places where we have no control, where we just, circumstance and situation place us in those circumstances. But in those seasons, in those times, friends, we need to have a different spirit. A different spirit reminds us of the constant abiding presence and faithfulness of God. That's what a different spirit does. A different spirit isn't influenced by what's going on around. A different spirit is firm and secure in who God is. You see, even when we are in our wilderness experience, we need to bless the Lord at all times. We need to make those solitary places into an altar of worship. When we have a different spirit, even the wilderness becomes a place of thankfulness. That's what it means to have a different spirit. We see things not with the natural eye, but with the spiritual eye. 10 unknown spies in Israel all had the right qualities. The tribes have chosen them because of their natural qualities, but it wasn't enough. God was looking for something else. God was looking for a different spirit. And I want to say that God is looking for a different spirit even in his people today. God is looking for a different spirit. I was talking, I hope she doesn't mind me saying this, but I was talking to Joan earlier on in the week, and we were, she was relaying some of her experience about when she was going through that wilderness, that dry time when she was going through chemotherapy. And it was hard. I mean, I've never been there, so I don't know what it's like, but I know that obviously it's a difficult experience. And she was just sharing about on one occasion where she was in a ward, and I think I'm getting this right. She was in the ward, and there were those around her, and she could have chosen in that moment to allow the circumstance to bring her down. Chemotherapy physically takes it out of you. It has an effect on your mental state and your mental well-being. But Joan, in that moment, had a different spirit. She chose to exercise a different spirit, and even in the midst of her trial and testing, she rose and she was still able to sing praises and thanks to God. That's what a different spirit does for us, friends. It doesn't matter. It's not that we ignore the circumstances, but in spite of the circumstances, in the midst of the circumstances of our lives, we can still give God glory and praise and thanks. Hallelujah. Come on, someone give God a hand of praise. You see, what God is looking for, a different spirit. And the person with a different spirit is someone who understands Proverbs 3, 5, 6, verses 5 and 6. And we know this, don't we? We know this. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. We know that. But the person of a different spirit not only knows it, but they live it. They live it. They know that they can't trust their own understanding, because our own understanding will let us down, will fail us. They know that in every circumstances, it's because of God. And so God always deserves the praise and the glory. Moses told the spies the requirements of a different spirit. 10 of them missed it. 2 of them didn't. As I was reading this, listen, let me read this to you. Numbers 13, 17 to 20. It says this: Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, "Go up into the Negeb and go up into the hill country and see what the land is and whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, whether they are few or many, whether the land that they dwell in is good or bad, and whether the cities that they dwell in are camps or strongholds, and whether the land is rich or poor, and whether there are trees in it or not. Be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. And right in there, I think, right in there, and I don't know, this is, I suppose, theological license, but I think right in there, I believe there was a choice. Because Moses presented to the 12 spies, Joshua and Caleb included, he presented to them a choice. When you go into the land, you can either go into it with a natural spirit or you can go in with a different spirit. Listen, Moses said, tell me if the people are strong or weak. Friends, we constantly are in that situation where we have to believe, where we find ourselves in situations, and we have to prove God, that God is either strong, a strong God, or is a weak God. We find ourselves in situations where we have to prove that God is able. A different spirit tells us that God is stronger than the sickness. A different spirit tells us that God is stronger than our financial situation. A different spirit tells us that God is able. And Moses said, tell me, is it stronger? Are the people stronger or weaker? Friends, God is saying, as we exercise a different spirit, we need to know or come to a conclusion, is God stronger or weaker than our circumstance? Is he? A different spirit says that God is able. Without a different spirit, you're more focused on the devil's ability to hurt you than God's ability to keep you. That's what happens when you don't have a different spirit. You're more focused on what Satan is able to do than what God himself is able to do. But the different spirit says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Is God able? Is God stronger than the circumstances? Of course he is. Always, in every situation and circumstance. Moses said to them, tell me whether the people are few or many. And again, we're called to remember, greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. The person without a different spirit says just what the 10 said. They come back, and whatever the circumstance, they say, oh, it's too much for us. There are too many in the land. There are Hittites, Jebusites, Amorites, Canaanites. They're too many, and we are too few, and we're only small. The circumstances are against us. The thing, it's too big. I can't see a way out. That's what you say when you don't have a different spirit. But with a different spirit, you have the spirit of Elisha. Elisha was a man with a different spirit. Remember the account when he was with his servant, and he said this, when they were surrounded by the enemy, and in the natural, those that were against them seemed in the natural to, so they were only two, Elisha and his servant, and then they were surrounded on the hillside by the armies of their enemies. But Elisha, with a different spirit, said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Friends, we are always in the majority. We are always in the majority. When we have a different spirit, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. There is no situation or circumstance where we are ever in the minority when we stand with God, when we have a different spirit. Few or many. Hallelujah. Moses said, tell us whether the land is good or bad. And we know, again, Romans 8:28 says this, and we know that for those who love God, all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. You see, a person without a different spirit is a person who doesn't recognize that God is always working for their good. A person without a different spirit is a person that sometimes thinks that God is out to get them. He never is. God is working for our good all the time, even when we don't see it and we don't perceive it. God is always working for our good because he says he is. And God is faithful, and he's true, and he is just. Joseph is someone who cultivated a different spirit. He says this in Genesis 50:20, you know it. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. And that can summarize Joseph's life, because all the way through his life, as we read his testimony, he was exercising, he was choosing to exercise a different spirit. What you meant for harm, God meant for good. And friends, when you exercise a different spirit, it doesn't matter what your circumstances look like, you will always know that God is working for your good. God is always working for your good, whether you perceive it or not. I'm not saying you don't have to go through some valleys in order to get there. I'm not saying you don't have any difficulties and adversity and things that come against you. But God, even in those times, is always working for your good. Always. Hallelujah. And then Moses, again in that text, said, tell me whether there are camps or strongholds. And friends, without a different spirit, those things that will from time to time come against us, those things that were only meant to be camps, that is temporary, transient, will very quickly become a stronghold. With a different spirit, friends, with a different spirit, you recognize those things that are only passing through your life. You recognize those things that are only temporary and transient. They might be difficult in the moment. They might be difficult for a time, but you will come through them because it's only a camp. It's not a permanent thing. But unless, friends, you view it with a different spirit, what was supposed to be temporary can become a stronghold. Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit. The other 10 said, we can't do it because there's all this stuff against us. And Caleb said, surely we can do it. Let us go up. We can do this. We can take the land, because he had a different spirit. And I want to say, as I sort of bring this to a close, that God has made a way for us to have a different spirit. Every single one of us. It wasn't restricted to just Caleb or even Joshua. But he's made it possible for every single one of us to exercise and to cultivate a different spirit. Nicodemus came asking about the kingdom of God, and Jesus said, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. A different spirit is part of the kingdom of God. And if you want to have a different spirit, there's no way of getting around it, you need to be born again. You need to have the life of God in you, the Spirit of God at work in you. There is no other way. You need to be born again, because without the Spirit of God, you will not see the kingdom of God. Jesus himself said this. And Peter answering Jesus' question about who do people say that I am? And Peter stated, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's a great testimony, a great account, because in that statement, Peter made the way for people like us to follow. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus, in his reply, said this, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. You see, we do not come to an understanding about who God is, about his nature and his character, by natural reasoning. We are always absolutely 100% totally dependent upon revelation by God. We are not going to get a different spirit by ourselves, by doing the right things, saying the right things, but we will get a different spirit when we open ourselves to God and we allow him to do what he wants to do in us. Listen, I, friends, and I'm sure you're the same, have proven God time and time again. God never holds back his anointing from those who are willing to press into the high calling, for those who are determined to lay hold of all that he's set before them. And it's our response, friends, listen, it's our response that determines whether or not we will inherit the promise of God. It's our response, whether we have a different spirit or not. It's our response. Listen, if you're living a moderated, compromised life in Christ Jesus, there's only one thing that any of us can do, and that's to call on him. To call on the Lord Jesus. Recognize that we need him. Call on God to renew our sensitivity to his Spirit. Ask him for a fresh revelation about his plans and purposes, not just for your life, but for us as a people. Ask him. Why? Because God will answer. He promises to, because he wants us to be a people with a different spirit.